It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Flagship Podcast. It is Thanksgiving week. Hope everyone's having a healthy, happy Thanksgiving week. I am Chip Brown of Horns 24/7. Of course, I am joined by our fearless leader at Horns 24/7, the managing editor, Taylor Estes. Taylor, happy Thanksgiving week.
Happy Thanksgiving, Chip. How are you doing?
You know what? I am thankful. Thankful that we are here another week doing the Flagship Podcast. I am thankful that it is college football still being played. And in this mad-capped, crazy 2020, I'm thankful that that we're here talking some football, hopefully getting time with some family this week. And how are you? You got family in town, right?
I do, yeah. But yeah, everything, you know, good. I'm ready to cover a game. I feel like it's been a hot minute since we have covered a game. And, you know, I definitely think that the one that we're about to cover this week is going to be potentially a doozy, Chip, to be honest. I mean, the Cyclones coming off of that 45-0 absolute throttling of Kansas State, and then Texas having 20 days to prepare for this. I mean, this could be one to remember, I think, for both Texas and Cyclones fans and people in the Big 12 because of the Big 12 title implications that this game's carry with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you look at both of these teams, they control their own destiny. Iowa State is 6-1 in conference play. They are in first place because everyone else has two conference losses, including Texas, obviously. And so this is what I call the control your own destiny countdown. And I think this is the toughest hurdle for Texas left. I mean, obviously, Kansas is a tomato can. And if Texas can't go to Lawrence and handle that business on December 12th, then shame on them. And right, we're wasting our time. But you've got the trip to K-State December 5th, you're going to have back-to-back road trips to the great state of Kansas now, which is, for those of us who've made those road trips, are a doozy. I mean, Lawrence is fun because you have Fog Allen Fieldhouse and all that stuff. Maybe you can time a basketball game in there. Of course, now it's Mad Dog 2020. You're not going to get to sit in Fog Allen Fieldhouse. So anyway, this game to me, Taylor, against Iowa State, with the momentum that Iowa State has, almost crowned him Ohio State right there. you know, the 45-0 win over K-State, that grabs your attention. K-State was depleted. They were missing two of their best defensive players and their stud receiver Malik Knowles to COVID. But still, 45-0 is 45-0. And so, look, Iowa State is on the verge of all kinds of history. This is crazy. I didn't realize just how bad Iowa State has been for so long. I mean, we're talking about they're 6-1 in conference play for the first time since like 1928. If they can beat Texas and win out and win the Big 12 title, it would be their first outright conference championship since 1912.
Jeez.
So
for 100 years.
I mean, Iowa State they're smelling something special. And of course, Matt Campbell has struggled in the final month of the season. He's 9-6. He's in his sixth year at Iowa State, but this is his best team. He's got the nation's leading rusher in Breece Hall, who's only a sophomore. He's got three monster tight ends that are all built like Rob Gronkowski. And he's got a crafty up and down quarterback who can run around a little bit, kind of like Texas has a crafty veteran quarterback who can run around a little bit, who's been up and down, Taylor.
Yeah. I mean, Iowa State, there's no doubt in my mind, Chip, that Iowa State has one of, if not the best running back in the country in Breece Hall. I mean, if you look at what he's been able to do this season, it is beyond impressive. I mean, you know, as you said, Brock Purdy has been up and down, but the reason why the Cyclones have really managed to keep it together, even with, you know, up and down quarterback play, as Texas fans know all too well recently, is because of the running game. I mean, he's rushed for over 100 yards per game with his worst showing. I believe it was 104 yards, I think, total against Louisiana, to open the season. And since then, I mean, he rushed for 185 yards against Oklahoma State. I think he tied his season high with that performance. But he is such a threat. And, you know, I think that we can talk all we want about Kansas State being depleted, as you kind of had mentioned. It does 45-0 is 45-0, how you said. You know, this is a 45-0 win over a conference opponent who has, you know, only two losses in conference play with a winning record. I mean, I tweeted something about that over the weekend saying, man, if this is the Iowa State team that shows up on Black Friday to play Texas, like, this could really hinder the Longhorns Big 12 title chances. And some people responded like, K-State's terrible. It's like, I don't care if they're depleted. 45-0 is 45-0 against a conference opponent. And, you know, credit to Matt Campbell. My goodness, the job he's done, you know, hearing the stats of Iowa State's history, you know, 108 years since they won a conference championship. That's pretty crazy that he's done this in a minimal amount of time being in Ames. I mean, he's done so much for that program in such this, it's, you know, 6 years is 6 years, but still it's a lot for what he has done, for how he has turned, you know, that program around coming off of the Paul Rhodes era. I mean, this is just, I think there's something really special, and I'm really curious how sustainable this could be for Matt Campbell and Iowa State moving forward.
Right. I mean, I talked to him this week on the Big 12 coaches call and asked him that very thing. I said, tell me about your recruiting, your culture fits, and what type of kid you're looking for there. And do you have enough of them to sustain this? Because if you look at their roster, it's all juniors and seniors, except for Breece Hall, who's a sophomore. And Brock Purdy's a junior quarterback. Mike Rose, their Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year candidate, who, I'm not kidding, he wears number 23. He's 6'4", 245, and runs like Brian Urlacher. Like, where did they find this guy?
Yeah.
And he's top four in the conference in tackles. He leads the conference in interceptions. I mean, he does – and if you talk to anyone about Matt Campbell, it's the word development – is immediate. Mm-hmm. Like, he finds guys who are willing to work their butt off, who are good enough athletes, have enough speed, who he can develop, and he develops them. And so I think you look at this team and you say, man, how did he find Breece Hall? How did he find Charlie Kohler and Dylan Sainer and Chase Allen, these monster tight ends? And no one else is using 13 personnel in this Big 12. And players aren't used to undersized linebackers who are built for the spread and getting sideline to sideline, aren't used to having 6'7", 250-pound guys coming at them as lead blockers and, you know, as the entourage for Breece Hall. So it's a different offense than what you're used to seeing at any other time in this league. And so credit to Matt Campbell. And of course, his defensive coordinator, John Haycock, is the one who is widely credited for coming up with that 3-8 cloud that has now been adopted by tons of people to slow down the spread offense, where, you know, you rush 3, drop 8, and invite teams to run, but you have enough speed to be able to come up and defend the run. Baylor played that defense to perfection last year to an 11-1 regular season. So Matt Campbell and John Haycock's been with Matt Campbell since they were at Toledo together. Mm-hmm. That continuity and trust, which kind of leads us to Tom Herman and Sam Ellinger and senior day, because Sam Ellinger, we had a chance to talk to him this week, and look, it's not been the senior year he wanted. It's probably, it's not the senior year or any year anyone wanted, but Sam knows he has to win a conference championship to have the kind of, you know, he wants to leave it better than he found it.
Right.
And to do that, winning the first conference championship since 09 would slam the door shut on that. And no questions asked, I left it better than I found it. Well, he didn't have a say on Tom Herman changing out seven assistant coaches, including his offensive coordinator, and all the change that was going to have to come, and all the off the field distractions, obviously. But the continuity that Matt Campbell has had with his staff has allowed him to build the kind of culture and consistency that you're seeing from a program that has never had four straight winning seasons. Can you believe that? So they haven't had four straight winning seasons at Iowa State since 1928, or the modern era of football, which I guess is when Iowa State like started keeping or joined a league or something. But that's, I mean, it's impressive, Taylor. This is a special season for Iowa State. If they can get past Texas, man, they're going to be, you know, they would have West Virginia left. That's no easy time, but it is a home game for Iowa State. And then if they beat Texas and West Virginia, they're in the Big 12 championship game.
I'm curious. So you were, you know, covering Texas back in the day when, you know, this was kind of happening with K-State a little bit. Do you see a little similarity between how Bill Snyder ran his program at K-State to what Matt Campbell is doing? That's putting Matt Campbell on a huge pedestal. And I understand that, because I consider Bill Snyder, honestly, one of the best football coaches in college football history, for the work he did with what he actually had, you know, at his disposal is so beyond impressive. I'm not sure if anybody will ever top that. But do you think that this is almost a similar type of road that the Cyclones are on right now under Matt Campbell with the way he's running the program?
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see if he wants to go anywhere else. I mean, we saw this, and I'm going to bring up Art Briles, and people are going to cringe, but Art Briles is a really talented offensive-minded football coach. He took over a Baylor program that had been dead. I mean, no one had done anything there, and he turned it into a perennial power and didn't leave. Mm-hmm. Everyone keeps waiting for Matt Campbell to leave.
Right.
Like, if he could ever turn Iowa State into a conference championship team, everyone expects him to leave. He's from Ohio. He grew up, you know, he played at Mount Union. But what if he is like Bill Snyder? What if he loves the family community there in Ames, and the fact that he's winning at a place where it's so appreciated every single week? I mean, if he goes to a place like Texas, where the fans are like, man, you played Kansas too close.
Yeah.
You're terrible. It's a different job.
Right.
It's a different job. And so it's always funny. I mean, the conversation always turns to me at Texas. Who's the right guy at Texas? Obviously, Mack Brown had this incredible ability to be a CEO. But Taylor, Mack told me point blank, it was because his wife was a millionaire, that he was comfortable in his own skin, that he was going to do it the way he wanted. And if they fired me, I don't care. My wife's a millionaire.
Right.
She made her money in real estate before I ever met her. And, you know, she kind of saved Mac because he was upside down at North Carolina when they met. And then she kind of infused this confidence into him to become the coach and the person that he always wanted to be. He always, you know, she never wanted that kind of credit, but it's true. And who is the right guy at a place like Texas? Well, you could always coach at Iowa State like Matt Campbell's doing, where they just appreciate you every single day. When you go to the grocery store, you're a hero.
Right.
And you're just coaching guys, and you're not having to deal with all the outside noise that comes with a place like Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Texas. So it's fascinating. It's a great contrast. Obviously, Campbell's been there. This is his sixth season. Tom Herman is in his fourth season at Texas. And so, you know, here we go. It's hugely important to both programs. For Iowa State, it's a chance to make history for Tom Herman, it's been to keep the Wolves off of him and to help a talented team achieve some, you know, a goal that they set out. I don't know if we're allowed to say what that 2017 class, recruiting class, calls themselves.
Oh, yeah. There's a emoji on your phone that, how would we describe? I don't know if we should say it, but.
Yeah, the doo-doo emoji.
Yeah, something it, stain 17.
Yeah, bleep stain 17, which I think is just hilarious.
It is, yeah.
But those guys want this so bad. And we'll get into can Texas will its way to a win here Friday. You know, because it's that Sam Ehlinger, what a story, right? I mean, he grew up, his dad took him to the games, his dad was a Silver Spur at Texas, his dad passes away, and Sam lives the dream of going on to Texas and playing quarterback, and can he finish the way he wants to finish? It's an amazing story that will play out on Friday.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Chip. And the good news that Texas does have in its favor is they're supposed to be getting possibly or probably getting back Jordan Whittington. Keontae Ingram is considered questionable to start the week. Their plan was to get him into practice, see if he could kind of go there and you know, make a decision from there. But I think that the fact that Texas should have Jordan Whittington and Jake Smith available on the offense, I mean, this only helps Sam Ehlinger.
Yeah, Whittington is coming off the hip flexor sprain, and Josh Moore is working through the AC joint shoulder.
But that only helps Sam Ehlinger. You know, he and teams don't really know what Jordan Whittington can bring to the table because he's been injured. But people who've seen, you know, what he did in high school know what he could possibly do. That could be a secret weapon that Texas almost has to work against this Iowa State defense that I think is currently 30th in the country in scoring defense. You know, they're playing, you know, well, as you had mentioned, under their defensive coordinator this year again. But I think Texas may have some secret weapons in its pocket on offense, especially that could surprise people. And I think that's got to be what they show from out the gate in order to, you know, make this team, the 2017 class, the, you know, bleep stain 17 class, like it's time to start fighting for these guys. These guys have been fighting for this program. They've put in the work. They, you know, were recruited. A lot of them were recruited by Charlie Strong, stuck around like a Sam Ehlinger, you know, a Josh Thompson, you know, a lot of these guys, Taquan Graham, they were already committed to Charlie Strong. They stuck it out. They've been through the transition of a coaching change, never playing for the coaches that recruited them. I mean, I think that if the rest of the team can just come together for this game, this could be huge for you know, the future. Because I think you're right. You know, we don't know what's going to happen when Kansas State and Texas play, what guys are going to be available or not. But this is for sure the toughest challenge left on the schedule. Not saying the rest of it's going to be, you know, smooth sailing or anything along those lines. But this is a type of game that can give you that confidence as you go towards the final, you know, two games of the season. And that's absolutely not just what the 2017 class needs, but that's what Tom Herman needs. I mean, this is, you know, the three-game winning streak has been really positive for Texas. And with Tom Herman, you know, it kind of quieted some of the questions about him being on the hot seat. But those haven't disappeared. Remember, these are just kind of on the back burner right now. They just haven't, you know, clicked on and put it on high yet. But this is, I think that Texas, you know, fight for what you have left on there and fight for the guys that have fought for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible drama. No one does drama like Texas, especially when the coach is starting to get into the shopping for asbestos underwear. No one does drama like that. And
asbestos underwear? What is that? I don't know if I've ever heard that say.
Oh, yeah. Because he's on the hot seat. So he needs the asbestos drawers. You know what I mean? You look at the three-game stretch that Texas has left. K-State's on its third-string quarterback. You know, they had Skylar Thompson. He got hurt. They had Will Howard. Now they're on Nick Ast, who's freshman. And he was part of that bludgeoning that Iowa State administered. And West Virginia got after Will Howard. He threw three interceptions. And look, the thing that we'll get into here, and the other, real quickly before I get into Texas's run defense, the one other injury that we have not talked enough about is Cade Brewer, who's been banged up really since the Texas Tech game. He had a quad contusion, like Sam Ehlinger in that game. Then it was worse. Like he got hit again to the point, Taylor, where he could barely play in the West Virginia game. They brought him in at the tail end of that game because they trusted him. But if they would have played Kansas last week, it's doubtful. I mean, they want him to be the holder for Cameron Dicker, because Buchevsky, the punter who's now out, had been the holder. Cade Brewer was the holder for Dicker in high school at Lake Travis. But his knee was so messed up that they were going to have the backup deep snapper, Zach Edwards, as the holder. Now, I don't know. I need to double check and see if Edwards is still going to hold against Iowa State or if Cade is good enough. But he's healthier. So Cade Brewer will play. Jared Wiley, I'm not even sure he's going to play. B.J. Foster took out both Cade and Jared Wiley in their practices leading up to Kansas. And, you know, this was part of their, hey, we're going to, you know, we're going to be super physical in our off week, and then we'll tailor it back. Well, I mean, they're probably going to have one tight end on the field. And then now, to get back to the point about Texas's run defense, that run defense has been pretty darn good, Taylor. If you're going to beat Iowa State, you've got to stop this tight end lead blocking 13 personnel running attack, and you got to find a way to get Breece Hall to the ground, because that's been the difference. And I think Texas has the confidence right now on defense, or at least what we saw from them against Chuba Hubbard, against Letty Brown. This is a Texas defense that's starting to gain confidence.
Right. And that, I do think that is something, that's a good point, Chip, because the one part of the defense that seems to be getting better and better with each week is the front seven. You know, it's the linebackers, it's the defensive line. The secondary has been hit or miss sometimes. They've made big plays. They've also given up some big plays, or, you know, penalty calls being flagged for pass interference, whatever it may be. But yeah, I think that this is something that helps Texas substantially, and probably will be one of the tougher fronts that Iowa State has faced this year. Now, you know, I'm not trying to disregard other Big 12 defenses or anything like that. However, this defense is playing up to the standard that I think most people expected from it from the start of the season. I mean, this is a veteran unit. There's juniors and seniors and all across the defensive line. I mean, this is a unit now that in a position group, especially, that is finally really stepping it up. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, Texas is going to somehow shut down Breece Hall, just because no team has been able to shut down Breece Hall. I mean, he's run for over 100 yards in every single game, leads the nation right now in rushing. I believe he has 1,169 yards entering this game. I mean, he's a force to be reckoned with, for sure.
15 rushing touchdowns this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is just an absolute dominant weapon that Iowa State has, and
catch the ball.
Yes. Oh yeah, for sure. He's not just a one trick pony here. He can do multiple things. I mean, this is just an elite athlete. I think that he's getting a little bit more now, but I thought for a while that he needed to be getting a lot more Heisman hype, you know, possible Heisman candidate attention. I have seen a lot more people recently saying it, but this guy's legit. And it's going to be something definitely a key to watch in this game. It's going to be how the Texas, especially the front seven on defense, go up against this running attack by Iowa State. Cause you know, they're going to run the ball. They're going to. They're going to make you stop them before they give it up, you know, and I don't know how many teams can stop them right now, to be honest.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I, couple points here. Brock Purdy, who's a junior, Sam Ehlinger, senior, were the veteran quarterbacks coming into the league this year and were the ones everyone was looking to for big, splashy senior, or not senior, but big seasons coming in because they were the known commodity. You had Spencer Sanders at Oklahoma State, who was young last year. But the veterans who'd been around were Sam Ehlinger and Brock Purdy, and they've both been up and down. Like, as well as Brock Purdy played in that 45-0 wipeout of K-State, he was 16 of 20, three touchdown passes, no picks, ran seven times for 59 yards. The week before, in a home game against Baylor, he had three interceptions, including a pick six, in the second quarter that put Baylor up 21-7 in that game. And they had to dig their way out, and they did. But Purdy's been up and down and all around. He had an interception against Oklahoma State in their one conference loss. And he was off in the opener against Louisiana. He looked uncomfortable. Now, you can say it's because Charlie Kohler wasn't in that game, their monster, all Big 12 tight end. Now he's there. So is Chase Allen. So is Dylan Sainer. Those three, you know, three-headed monster tight ends who are all like redshirt seniors. You know, I mean, they're all, well, Kohler's a junior, I think, but the others are seniors and fifth-year guys and all that stuff. So, you know, you look at Purdy, he's been up and down. You don't know what you're getting from him. And Sam has been up and down too. Sam's coming off of a 48.4% completion rate against West Virginia. And in a game that we all said, just run the ball, quit trying to throw it. I don't care if you've had injuries in the slot and there's no consistency or whatever the problem's been with receivers can't get off press man. They can't get run the dang ball. Mm-hmm. And so what does Mike Yurcich and Tom Herman have in store? What does Matt Campbell have? I mean, both of them, to me, are going to need to have a healthy running game in this game. And I can't wait to see Bijan Robinson, because when last we saw him, Taylor, he was averaging 9 yards a carry and didn't get more than 12 carries.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's a guy who you got to coach him up. I don't care if he's a freshman. Coach that dude up and get him the rock.
Yeah. One thing to consider here, Chip, and I just looked this up with Iowa State. They're currently the 15th best run defense in college football right now. So this is a strength, you know, and that's something that Texas is going to, they're going to have to run the ball. We've talked about this. I believe it was last week. This last few weeks have just rumbled, you know, together. I think I got that injury update totally mixed between the last two, although we haven't seen, you know, Whittington or anything either. But still, you know, I think that the thing that we talked about before is a way to help a struggling passing game is a good running game. You know, make them respect you. It's a running attack.
That's a play action.
Mm-hmm, exactly. To set up the passing game and to give, as we talked about, I think it was last week, you know, about the offensive line confidence. Help them gain confidence, because that is, you know, if the running backs are doing their job like Bijan Robinson was in that last game against West Virginia, then they're gonna play the way that they should be playing. They're gonna play, you know, instinctually, not overthink every single thing. And that's for any position, honestly. And that's honestly for any sport too. But yeah, I mean, I think that Texas is gonna have to really, really dedicate a heavy running attack against Iowa State, even though they're gonna be facing, you know, an Iowa State defense that is the number 15th. Run defense, excuse me, in the country, and they're giving up an average 104 yards per game. So, I mean, this is going to be...
Yeah, this is a physical line of scrimmage game, and Taquan Graham talked about it. He said, look, these tight ends come at you, and they love to block. So, if the Texas defensive line isn't ready to just crack some helmets, they're not going to win this game. If they are, if they're ready to make a statement after all this craziness in 2020, man, we should see a really good game. Might be low scoring unless there's turnovers. So I think back to last year, Taylor, and I was in Ames for that 23-21 game where Texas could do nothing. And, you know, they went for it on fourth down, deep in Iowa State territory, early on the road, which I always say, take the field goal first. Get the points first. When you're on the road, just get points. And they didn't. And they were down 20-7 in the third quarter. And then Sam Ehlinger, you know, we've seen this before, comes to life on a 10-play drive. And some of this stuff is pretty amazing. On a 10-play drive that started in the third quarter, ended in the fourth quarter, they cut it to 20-14. And he was 6 of 9 passing on that and converted a 3rd and 10 from the Iowa State 22 with a touchdown pass. And then the 15-play drive that was kind of similar to the Oklahoma State drive in Stillwater this year, where he had to overcome 2nd and 35. I don't know if people remember this.
I didn't remember this till we talked about it before the show. Yeah.
2nd and 35. It's kind of like the 4th and 22, right? Mm-hmm. And they got a roughing the punter penalty to bail him out of that one. This one, they had 2nd and 35, and Sam hits Eagles for a 30-yard pickup and then converts 3rd and 5 with a 26-yard pass to Devin Duvernay, which gave them 1st and goal from the 7. Now, they tried to run it. They didn't go anywhere, and they end up having to throw a 4th and goal touchdown pass to Malcolm Epps, very similar to the 4th down touchdown pass to Jake Smith at Oklahoma State. I mean, and I just remember this, Taylor, because that happened with 5:37 left. Then the defense holds Iowa State. Texas gets the ball back with 4 minutes left at their own 15. And they brought in 2 tight ends. After not being able to run for a yard the whole game, they bring in 2 tight ends and try to run. Mm-hmm. And they get nothing. And so on 3rd and 10, they have to pass. Iowa State brings the house on a blitz. It goes incomplete. And I've never seen Sam Ehlinger so mad in my life coming off the field.
Because you were on the sideline.
I was on the sideline.
Yeah, and you witnessed this all firsthand.
He was so mad. And I've never seen Sam throw his helmet. And he was so mad that they didn't trust him after going on that 10-play drive and the 15-play drive when they had to have points. And he threw it all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, he threw it almost every snap of that. He threw it 9 times on the 10-play drive.
Right.
And they got the touchdown. And then on the 15-play drive, he was 7 of 11 passing. Mm-hmm. And they didn't trust him to throw from his own 15. Iowa State gets the ball back. Now, there was they lined up for the long field goal. The kid missed it. Joseph Osai was offsides. The drive continued. Matt Campbell bled the clock down to 3 seconds, put the kicker back out there, Connor Asali, and Asali made it from 39 yards, and Iowa State won 23-21. I've never seen Ehlinger so mad. It would not shock me if this guy is just possessed when he hits the field at 11 a.m., and that leads us to the 11 a.m. Factoid, Taylor, where Texas has not been great at 11 a.m. In fact, they opened the season 0-2 at 11 a.m. against TCU and OU. They did beat West Virginia 17-13 in an 11 a.m. kick. So they're 1-2 in 11 a.m. games, and they are 6-7 overall in 11 a.m. games under Tom Herman.
What is it? Like, I don't understand. I mean, I feel like, you know, The definition of crazy is, you know, doing the same exact thing expecting a different result. And that's kind of how I feel like this team is in 11 a.m. games. It's like, I mean, how can you not learn your lesson with that? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, they did it back-to-back this year with the TCU and the Oklahoma game and both of those losses. I mean, yeah, this is – I don't know if maybe they need to just wake the team up at like 4 a.m. or something and – beat on their doors or something. I don't know what you do to get them ready, but they got to find a way, because I think that this is going to be a game, Chip, that they are going to have to come out the gate on fire. You know, I think you don't want this Iowa State team to get momentum, especially early. I really think that that could be, you know, detrimental to Texas. I mean, especially when that team is coming off of a 45-0 win over a conference opponent who at the time had a winning record. I mean, this is something that they got to do something different in this 11 a.m. start.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a big day. They're going to unveil the Julius Whittier statue in the north end of DKR. So players will pass it on their way into the stadium. And Julius Whittier, the first black football letterman. This is part of the more inclusive campus changes that came about this summer, announced by UT President Jay Hartzell. And Julius Whittier, a fascinating guy. I mean, he grew up in San Antonio. His mom and high school coach didn't even tell him he was being recruited, and then told him that he was being recruited by Texas and had a letter from Daryl Royal. He loved watching Texas. They were running the wishbone at that time. He ended up being a freshman in 69 when they won the national championship. He couldn't play because at that time freshmen were not allowed to play. That would change in 1972, but he was on the 70 national championship team as an offensive lineman and tight end. And you know, he went on to get graduate degrees from Texas, got his law degree from UT, and worked in the Dallas prosecutor's office. And so it's a big day for Texas on Friday, and they're going to be honoring the 50th anniversary of that 70 national championship team. So on top of Senior Day, Taylor, which can be emotional.
Big 12 title game, your chances still too.
Right. So let's see how focused these guys can be at 11 a.m. with all this other stuff going on and Senior Day, and guys can get emotional, which sometimes can work against you. These guys just need to be spitting fire, like you said, and get after it. Because if they can handle this hurdle to me, then the road gets significantly easier.
Yes.
You're playing a Kansas team that has no confidence and possibly a K-State team on its third string quarterback. So,
yeah, no doubt. And we'll continue this conversation here with some heavy hitting love it or leave it topics, but we're going to take a very short break. You definitely want to stick around. We may even talk about a little bit about our favorite or least favorite Thanksgiving sides at the end of the show too. I'll tell you a story about something people think I'm the craziest person ever because I don't like it, but we will be right back.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
All right, Chip, you ready for some love it or leave it?
Oh, yeah. It's everybody's favorite part of the show.
All right. I'm going to pose a few topics at you. If you agree, go ahead and love it. Disagree, go ahead and leave it. So my first one for you is Texas held Letty Brown and Chuba Hubbard below their season averages. Love it or leave it, the Longhorns will do the same with Breece Hall.
I'm going to go with love it here because you show me something once, it could be an anomaly. You show me something twice, I'm going to start to say that's a trend. And the thing that I liked most about what they did in holding down Letty Brown is they held West Virginia, period. I mean, Letty Brown had 15 carries for 47 yards, 3.1 a carry. You'll take that. But they held West Virginia to 43 yards rushing on 26 carries. That's 1.7. And this is a West Virginia team that was running the football. And same with Oklahoma State. Chuba Hubbard, the nation's leading rusher last year, 25 carries, 72 yards, 2.9 a carry in Stillwater. And you hold Oklahoma State to 51 carries for 130 yards, which is 2.5 a carry. With all the craziness that was going on in that game, with the back end giving up huge plays and touchdowns to Tylan Wallace, and good guy, the guy seemed like he had 1,000 catches in that game. The run defense held firm, and we are seeing progress, or we were seeing progress from Juwan Mitchell and DeMarvian Overshawn, backing up that formidable defensive line. Tavondre Sweat, breakout game against West Virginia when Keandre Coburn went down with the ankle injury. So I'm going to love this. Okay. Breece Hall special, that three-headed monster, tight end blocking, 13 personnel, is different. I'm not saying that Breece Hall won't break a long run. He probably will. He did that to Oklahoma State. But I'm going to say I love it. Texas will hold Breece Hall below his season averages.
Okay. Well, to put it
how about you?
You know, so currently Breece Hall is averaging 146.12 yards rushing per game. So I'm going to love it and say that Texas will hold him below the 146 rushing yards. That in the other side of that, that is not me saying they're going to shut him down. Averaging 146 rushing yards per game as an individual is a very, very, you know, substantial accomplishment and not something that is very common. And, you know, especially Power 5 college football, this is not, I know the Big 12 is a little bit down, but the defenses are playing better this year than they have in years in this conference. So I'm going to say that Texas holds him below that number. However, I would be absolutely astonished if they held him under 100 yards, because that's something that no team has done so far this season. So yes, I will love it. I think that he won't rush for 146 yards, but he might rush for 135. I don't know. Yes.
Okay. All right.
That's kind of where I'm going to go with that one. All right. So,
which means that the Texas defense is going to have to find a way to turn over Brock Purdy, which teams have been able to do.
Right. Yeah. That hasn't been his strong suit either. And, you know, as you said, up and down quarterback play. So that's definitely probably an option. But so here, my second one for you, speaking of Brock Purdy. So Brock Purdy and Sam Ehlinger have had, you know, up and down seasons this year, as we talked about. Love it or leave it, the reason for these up and down seasons, it's because both quarterbacks are pressing.
You know, I'm going to love this. I do think that there has been some pressing going on. And I think when you start to read that you're a NFL caliber quarterback, you start inevitably thinking about trying to be a little bit too perfect, a little too precise, instead of just, as Sam Ehlinger said himself, just trusting your receivers and letting the ball rip. And I go back to when I was ready to throw Sam Ehlinger to the curb after they lost at Maryland, when he had two chances in the final 5 minutes to win that game and ended up throwing a deep ball to Lil Jordan Humphrey when he was double covered, when he had Devin Duvernay wide open underneath. And Tom Herman called him Sunday after that game and said, listen, you're my guy. I need you to be aggressive, not reckless.
Right.
And I think that conversation might be worth revisiting in the hotel team hotel before Friday morning's game. And so, yeah, I do think they've been pressing, and Purdy just looked like he's looked uncomfortable at times. And I bring up that Baylor game, Taylor, because I was like, ugh, where is this coming from? This is a guy who put it together when he had to against Oklahoma. Granted, it was an Oklahoma team without Ramondre Stevenson, without Ronnie Perkins. Oh God, did those guys have a game against Oklahoma State? I mean, 41-13. Ramondre Stevenson ran for 146 yards. He's bowling people over. Ronnie Perkins, the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week in that game. He had, you know, three tackles for loss, two sacks. So Oklahoma, but Brock Purdy made the plays he had to make and came from behind, won the game. So yeah, I feel like he's been pressing. I thought Purdy and Sam would both kind of do that this year, and it's been a turbulent ride. Fascinating to see which one can kind of get it together here Friday, because all the chips are in the middle of the table.
Totally agree with that. Absolutely. And before I answer real quick, I just wanted to say, I'm pretty sure last week, one of our questions was about Bedlam and how you thought that might get right.
Did Man, I, that? How can you lose 16 of 17? How do you do that? Come on, Gundy. I thought he would do it for Boone Pickens. I swear to God, I thought he would. Because Boone was always like, Gundy, you got to beat OU. Mm-hmm. All this, everything, the facilities, everything, that's so we could beat OU. And he only beat him that one time with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so not to change the subject, but I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to love this. You know, it's kind of Sam Ellinger he knows it. He's talked about it. He said, you know, he's trying to aim the ball too much. And if, you know, my father-in-law is a coach, and he coached baseball and football, and he'd always say, don't aim it, throw it. Like, stop trying to aim it. Do what you are gifted in doing. And that's just letting it rip, how you said, and, you know, trusting the guys around you. And so, yeah, I think that both quarterbacks have been pressing. And I completely agree with you. This is literally, let's see which one's going to take the pot in the middle of the table, you know, who's going to be the one to step up and not do that. Or it could be both of them are doing that in this game, and then the running game is all the things that we're talking about, because that's the only thing working. Who knows? We'll see. But yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, if Sam Ellinger and Brock Purdy for that matter, but for Texas side of things, if Sam Ellinger can just get back to just being confident in himself, being confident in the players around him, then I think that Texas wins this game. You know, but I don't know. It's been hard to watch at times, you know, and I've been the biggest Ellinger supporter, honestly, even when he was a recruit. Like, I loved covering Ellinger as a recruit, because I love the underdogs, you know, the guys that aren't the top tier guys, you know, the guys aren't the number one, and they have to like work for everything that they do. That's what he's done. And so, you know, I would like to see that Sam Ellinger return. And I think, you know, senior day would be a poetic type of ending, you know, for if that's the day that it does happen, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be, I'm excited. I hope we get a well-played game by both sides and no surprises.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Well, that leads to my final one, Chip. So I'm going to ask you this. Senior day for the Longhorns will be memorable for all the right reasons. Love it or leave it.
You know, Taylor, I woke up today, and this could change, and you certainly heard my gut feeling that Oklahoma State would give OU all kinds of trouble last week, and how'd that turn out?
The kiss but of death.
But I think Texas finds a way. I think Sam Ellinger finds a way, and so I think I'm going to love this. And maybe I'm like you, kind of cheering for Sam Ellinger, who's, I'll never forget him saying, you know, to the rest of the team, we got to be more accountable. We got to pay more attention to detail. And then they came out and looked like they were playing blindfolded against Oklahoma. I mean, mm-hmm. It was like, what is going on here? What's the disconnect? And maybe the aftermath of that game and Chris Del Conte having to go into the locker room and tell this team, you guys need to stand together for the eyes of Texas, because if you don't, you look like you're totally disjointed and coming apart.
Right.
Maybe that helped to rally this team. I don't know, but I just get the feeling that on this senior day, as crazy as it is with everything, no fans, I think Ehlinger finds a way, and the defense gets to Brock Purdy, and Texas wins, like maybe even covers the, what is it, 1.5 points?
I was going to say, are they the one less than one?
Maybe they win by 2 points.
Ooh, or
maybe they win 23-21 this year.
Maybe so, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
What about you, Taylor? Do you love this, or are you going to leave this? Because you've been much more, your gut feeling has been much more on point. Mine has been more past the Tums.
Right. That's why you don't, you know, ever second guess a woman's intuition. But, you know, I'm torn right now because one side of it is Tom, you know, they had 20 days off in between games. Tom Herman tried to spin it as, oh, this is unique because none of us have ever been through this in the regular season or anything like that. I mean, I don't know if that really changes anything.
Right. He's prepared for bowl games. He's 3-0 in bowl games, and you typically have a month off. I mean,
yeah, so I do think that should help Texas. And then that side, that's what comes in. He's, you know, 3-1 coming out of bye weeks. He is, or 4-1.
Yeah, 4-1.
And then 3-0 in bowl games. I mean, so on that side, I do think that Texas, this, I would love it. However, I don't, that 45-0 game that Iowa State played, I was watching it and I was just like, oh my gosh, like talk about the worst timing for to be ready to play an opponent. And then the team was sitting at home probably watching that game since they didn't have a game last Saturday. That scares me a little bit. So I'm going to just go against you since I agreed to the other ones. I'm going to say I'm going to leave it. Okay. But I'm really torn. Like, I'm not ready to say Texas loses. I'm not ready to say Texas wins. Like, I just, our predictions will be a day early this week on Horns 24/7. I still am not sure what I'm going to predict, but, you know, just to go against you, I guess I'll just say leave it.
Yeah. And your predictions have been more on point than mine. So, and every game has been a one possession game. Mm-hmm. For Texas, they could have won. They could have won the games they lost. They could have lost the games they've won. I mean, it's this is life under Tom Herman in 2020 and this Texas team. So, all right, Taylor, I got one for you. Okay.
Okay.
I got two for you.
Oh, okay.
Two. Okay. So there is a side on that Thanksgiving table that you cannot stand. Love it or leave it. And what is it?
Yes, I'm going to love it. And I kind of tease it. It's a weird thing, especially Texans give me a whole lot of heck over this. I can't stand gravy. Gravy is just bleh to me. Like, I'm not a fan of it.
Is it a texture thing? Is it a...
Taste? I'm not really a fan of warm liquids. I know that sounds strange, but like, I don't like
hot syrup.
Yeah. I don't like, no. Yeah. My syrup needs to be like room temperature. I don't like soup. I don't like coffee. I don't like tea. Okay. Like, the only times you'll see me drinking like coffee or something is if I'm like freezing cold somewhere, like in the press box, sometimes at Texas, sometimes I'll get a cup of coffee, but it's more just so I can hold in my hands because it gets so icy cold in that press box. But yeah, warm liquids, just a weird thing. So gravy's mine. What about you?
Yeah, cranberry.
Really?
Yeah.
Canned or any kind?
I mean, whatever that jello form is.
Yeah.
Is better than the, like, I don't like jam either. Mm-hmm. Like, I can do jelly because I'm not going to get some piece of fruit in there somewhere. But cranberry, yeah, never. No, it's just swing and a miss for me.
Yeah.
So I will love the fact that, yes, there is something on that Thanksgiving table that I'm going to just pass to the next person.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this, because once Thanksgiving hits, it's Christmas season, Taylor, and the Christmas specials start immediately. Mm-hmm. So love it or leave it, you have a favorite Christmas special that you kind of have to see before you're in the Christmas spirit. Mm-hmm. Love it or leave it.
It's a good question. I don't know if there's one in particular that I would have. I've never really thought about that. Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I always like Christmas Vacation. That's one of the movies that I absolutely love watching.
Love
I'm a big,
it.
You know, Elf fan. That's a good one too. But I don't think that there's one that I'm like, oh, I this is the only thing that's going to get me into the Christmas spirit. What about you?
The Grinch.
Okay.
Because of the little dog.
Oh, yeah.
Love the little dog.
Yeah.
Like when he gets the antlers tied to his head and he's on the front of the sled, like, we're going sledding.
Yeah.
And the Grinch is like, you're pulling this thing.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
funny. Well, speaking of specials, Chip, one special that we have over at Horns 24/7 too that everybody needs to get aboard on is through Monday, we have a Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Cyber Monday sale of 75% off annual memberships for new members who sign up for Horns 24/7. You definitely want to do the annual membership package because you get not just access and to the Horns 24/7 staff's insider information for recruiting and team news, but also you get access to read other VIP articles across the network for opposing teams. So if you sign up today, you can head over to cyclonealert.com, read what the Iowa State 24/7 site is putting out there. It's the best way to go. Gift it to somebody if you want. I mean, this is the best deal that you're going to ever come by at 24/7 to get on board there. 75% off. And like I said, it goes up until 11:59 Eastern on Monday. I believe that's November 30th on Cyber Monday. It runs through there. So head on over there. Definitely make sure that you subscribe for the annual plan if you're not a member. And then also, we always appreciate if you head over to the iTunes channel, you know, give us a 5-star rating, leave us a nice little review. You know, we appreciate our listeners so much, and we hope all of you have an amazing Thanksgiving holiday.
Absolutely. Great call. Great call on the gifting
yeah.
of the annual Horns 24/7 membership.
Yeah.
All right. Great stuff. Taylor, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah.
I will see you on Friday. And don't forget to tune in to the flagship podcast preview. We'll be previewing Texas and Iowa State with Michael Swain of CycloneAlert.com on the 24/7 network. So everybody have a safe and healthy and happy Thanksgiving. And until next time, for Taylor Estes, I am Chip Brown. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and keep the faith.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.